Amen. All right, you can turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. And I've talked to Brother Shepherd about how I feel like maybe this morning I missed maybe the Lord's will. I don't believe I missed the Lord's will for this morning. I believe it was the Lord's will for this morning. Sure. But I believe for the rest of the meeting, though, God's kind of turned my heart towards something that I'd been studying a little bit more while I was studying this. The message from this morning kind of come to my heart, and I was kind of battling between which one the Lord had me to preach this week. But I got over there this evening and tried to pray and read for about three and a half hours and find the Lord's will, and it seemed like the Lord wouldn't let me go any further on that thought. And so I'm just trying to mind the Lord and do what He'd have me to do, and that's what I want. I want God's will on that. So again, I said I missed it. I don't believe I missed it this morning. Everything that was in all the testimonies, everything that said during Sunday school all the way through the service lined up with 1 John chapter number 1. Wasn't that amazing how God does that? But it seemed like, as I've tried to study, Brother Kirkman, that the Lord said you that's the way you should have went this morning. But for the rest of the week, the Lord have us to go this way. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. And I thank God for the opportunity the Lord's give us to be here at Island Ford once again. And I guess as you're studying, I've never preached a series of messages like this. I have when I pastored a church. But you're trying to study and dig and find to preach seven messages. And I thank God for all the things He's shown me out of the Word of God. In studying that, it's been a challenge to me. But I do want to do what the Lord would have me to do. Amen. And sometime maybe it was the familiarity of what I'm going to preach about, but I don't know if we're really familiar as we think that we are with this subject in the Word of God, but I believe it's one of the most maybe misunderstood or misplaced things in the Christian life. But let's look here in Ephesians chapter number 1. We're going to read through verse number 14, and you'll see something here in these verses over and over again, and we want to preach about those. The Bible says here in Ephesians 1 verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, of His great, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I want you to notice in verse number 1, Paul says that he is writing to the church at Ephesus by the will of God. Amen? And then Paul talks about how he's been predestined to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to God has predestined him to be adopted one day, placed as a son to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. In verse number 9 it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. In verse number 11 it says that He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And so I just want to preach about the will of God, Lord willing, through this week about the will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. I thank You again for these that have come out to hear it. And I pray, God, for Your touch and Your help tonight as I preach the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. And tonight, if I was to ask you, do you know the will of God? All of us would probably say, well, I know somewhat of what the will of God is. And it seems like a real easy subject to understand, but I really wonder how much that you and I really are seeking out the will of God and knowing what the will of God is. I mean, most of our life is spent on our pleasure, our purpose, and our praise. But that's what the will of God is all about here in Ephesians chapter number 1. It's about the pleasure of Almighty God. It's about His purpose and His praise. And I believe our life ought to reflect our life since we've been saved by the grace of God. It's we ought to bring God pleasure. That is solely why God saved us. And He does all things after the counsel and the purpose of His own will. And His praise, He's the one that deserves all the praise and the honor and the glory. And sometimes we think, well, the will of God is some elevated thing that we can't really understand or we can't reach to. But I believe that it's a down-to-earth thing. And the reason that I say that is because that God has given us His revealed will in the Word of God. And I know sometimes we pray and we say, well, what's God's will in relation to this problem in my life? And what's God's will in relation to this choice in my life? And I understand God may not write down in the Word of God directly to you, this is the job that I want you to work, or this is the wife that I want you to take, or this is the place that I want you to live at. But I'll tell you this, if we just get busy in the revealed will of God, the relational will of God in our life, I believe will come along. God will reveal that to us. I believe we just get busy in the revealed will of God. We'll be so busy trying to seek God's will and to do God's will in the Word of God. The relational will, if I can call it that, will just come along. I'm glad that God directs our life according to His Word by the inspiration of His Word. And so I want to preach about God's will this week and what the Word of God has to say about the Word of God. It's a little easier maybe than the topic I had this morning, because there's about 8 places in the Word of God where it says this is the will of God. And I maybe deal with those things in the Word of God. God wants us to know His will. Amen. I mean, God wants us to know Him, and God wants us to know His will for our life. And thank God for the King James Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. I don't believe that it's so we have a problem finding out what the will of God is. As I believe we have a problem with our own will, and we're too busy to look into God's will and to seek out God's will for our life. Again, we're busy with our pleasure, our purposes, and our praise. That's what our flesh wants, isn't that right? But I'm glad that I got saved by the will of God one night, and God put a desire in my life, Brother Philip, to do His will. I'm glad that He was willing to save me, aren't you? I'm glad that God, in His will and His divine purpose, decided He'd save me. And by the way, I'm not afraid of Ephesians chapter number 1 by the words adoption and election and predestination. I mean, thank God those are words that define the salvation that God has given unto me according to His will. And those are salvation doctrines. And so the first thing I want to preach on tonight is about the will of God in salvation. The will of God in salvation. And I want to preach, Lord willing, sometime. I'm not going to say what I'm going to preach what, but about God's will in inspiration. How that God has given us His Word, and He's given us His Word to show us His will. God's will in sanctification after we get saved by the grace of God. And on we could go about God's will of our presentation of our body to Him after we've been saved. And there's some other ones I can't remember right now, but I want to go along those lines. Somebody may say, well, I've heard about the will of God all my life, but this is a Bible conference preaching about certain topics in the Word of God. And so I want to talk about the will of God. Paul said in Philippians 3 verse number 1, to write the same things unto you to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Listen, there's nothing new that we need. We just need the Word of God. If you're going to some place and they're saying this is God's will and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, the same Word of God, they don't have the same Jesus, they don't have the same Bible, I mean they don't have the same doctrines of the Word of God.
God, beware, amen, danger, if you don't get God's will from God's word. And listen tonight, first of all, this salvation of God's will, I'm glad that God doeth all things after the counsel of his own will, is what it says here. I mean, the Bible tells us that in eternity past, the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God decided that they would send Jesus into this world. Isn't that right? To die for the sins of the world. That's above my comprehension, but I sure am glad there's a God tonight who knew we'd sin and he knew we'd need a Savior, and he determined in his counsel and in his foreknowledge to save sinners like you and me. And I'll say in Ephesians chapter number 1, we see the Trinity, or the three persons of God, at work to bring about our salvation. Amen. You'll find it talks about the Father in verse number 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse number, Jesus Christ is his Son. Chapter number 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That's the Son of God. And then it says we have in verse number 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so I see in this, Brother Kirkman, that the Godhead, was at work in our salvation. Hey, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost are in full agreement to save sinners. They're they have the same will about saving sinners, and they've done the same work, and they've done it with the same word of God, here in the word of God. Amen. They all are active in God's will in saving a sinner. Ain't you glad God's willing to save you? Ain't you glad it was in God's will to save you wherever he saved you at? Amen. And God, and I quoted this morning in the message. That's why I said that it's kind of tied together. But we're not saved by our own will. I said in John chapter number 1, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even in them that believe on his name. And I said, belief brings a birth, amen. And it says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I believe that verse is saying we're not born. I mean, if it was my will, everybody'd be saved, especially all of my children. But just because I'm blood kin to my children, that's not going to make them say, I can't will it, so I've got to pray to God to convict them and to draw them and to deal with their hearts about their sin. Amen. And that's God's will, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Amen. So James 1:18, as I quoted this morning, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. And I said, in God's own will, he told us in his word throughout the Old Testament that there was coming a sacrifice, and that sacrifice would be a son, a seed of a woman. Isn't that right? God's will was telling about that. And of his own will, he begot us, because just like he said in his will in the Old Testament, he sent his own son. His own will sent his own son. Romans 8 says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So God sent his own son, his righteous son, to be holy and without blame and spotless and separate from sinners, where he could save us to the uttermost. Amen. You think about how Jesus cried out, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. I don't fully understand all of that, but I do know, as I said a minute ago, that the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, were all together on God's will, but Jesus came here as a human being. He was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. I'm glad He was crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know why Jesus died? Because His Father wouldn't spare Him. He wanted to spare us, but He couldn't spare Him and spare us. There in Romans 8:32, it says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how should He not with Him also freely give us all things? And so it was God's will. I think about the church and how the Bible, this was God's blood. When Jesus purchased the church, He gave His life for it. Acts 20 says it was God's own blood.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. I tell you, I'm not really, for the most part, just right off, I'm not willing to shed my blood for anybody. When you come to me with a knife, you come to me with something's going to shed my blood, I'd pray God would help me, that I would be willing to die. I always wondered what I'd do if somebody would attack me or attack my family. What I'd do? Would I run? Would I be a coward? We had a friend one night and this sometime, and just because I mentioned this word, I definitely don't agree with Halloween, all right? Believe it's ungodly, and that's not the message tonight, but it's around that time, and one of the friends of my wife, I was gone, and I was coming back in from preaching, and my wife, she's probably listening, she had told my wife, she had this mask, and she was going to put that mask on and try to scare me after I got home. Well, I went in the house, and my wife said, "Will you go out in the car and get my purse?" I went out there to get the purse, where am I getting this at? About sparing my blood being shed. But anyway, I'm supposed to say it evidently, but I went around there, and she come around that car, had that mask on, and I said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And didn't say anything, so I drew my fist back, and she let me know who she was. Amen. What I'm trying to say is that you never know what she'll do, but by nature, for the most part, we're not willing to be harmed for anybody else. We're not willing for our blood to be shed on the behalf of another, but God didn't spare His Son. God's own blood in His own Son purchased our redemption.
Amen.
Revelation 1:5, we said that again, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. I think over there in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 24, talking about Jesus Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live under righteousness. He said, "For you are a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." So we see God the Father and God the Son. The Son was willing to take our sins in His own body on the tree.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the Bible said, "By the which will we are sanctified through the body of Christ once for all."
Amen.
I'm glad He was willing to do that, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
God would send His Son. The Son would come in Himself. He would cry, "Not my will, but thine be done." I've heard different things about that cup, Brother Kirkman, but from what I understand, that cup was our sin. It was our judgment. It was the sin of all the world. Jesus was talking about how He was going to partake of that cup on our behalf, and He was holy and righteous. He didn't want to partake through that. He even said, was it to Peter and them, "I could call 12 legions of angels. I could call angels to deliver me." He didn't have to go to Calvary, but I'm glad He was willing, aren't you? I'm glad the God, the Son, was willing to die for sinners. So we see them active. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." I'm glad it's God's will to save all men. And I'm going to mention more about that, Lord willing, at the end of this message. But the will of God in salvation, the three persons, one God and three persons are involved in our salvation.
Amen.
Amen. The
Bible says back over there in 1 Timothy 2, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So what we've got a holy, righteous Father that is offended at the sin of man. The man is God the Father's enemy. He's the enemy of Almighty God. But I'm glad, thank God, He sent His Son as a go-between, a daysman to come betwixt us. Amen. I'm glad He was willing to do that. I'm glad tonight it's not Mary, it's not the preacher, it's not the Pope. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You'd be surprised how many people today think you can go to a Catholic church, you can go to any kind of church and be born again. Church don't save you, even a Baptist church. But you get talking against churches, and more or less, I believe you ought to speak against their doctrines if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. One of the reasons I'm a Baptist is because from what I've seen and what I've studied, they line up with what God says about salvation, biblical salvation. Line it up with God's Word, amen. The Holy Ghost was at work. I mean, he dealt with us, convicted us. Thank God we got born again. He sealed us. Oh, we're sealed with Him. It's the down payment, the earnest money of the purchased possession, our body. Amen. I know these things may have heard before, but I sure am glad to hear them again, aren't you? It's safe to hear them again. There's a lot of confusion in our day. And I'll get on here in a little while, but Calvinism's resurging all over. But it ain't in the Word of God. And I'll mention some of that here in a minute. Let me say we see the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are active in the will of God to save sinners. They have the same will. They have the same words and the same works. The deity of God the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're, what do we call it, co-equal, co-existent, all of that. I mean, these three, there are three that, 1 John 5, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Amen? It's one God. Amen? Now, you can see that in the Word of God if you study many different aspects. But it says here, the gospel of your salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For man to believe that, that's how he's saved. Now, all three persons of the Godhead were working in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible said He was stricken and smitten of God. Talking about the Father. And he was smitten, he died, because God the Father killed him there on the cross. Would that not be right? But you know what Jesus said? He said, no man has power to take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. He had power. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So the Father and the Son were at work in that. Amen? And the Holy Ghost told us about it throughout the Word of God. The burial and the resurrection. The Father, according to Acts 2, it says the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. According to John 10, Jesus said, no man takes my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. According to Romans chapter number 6, the Bible talks about the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. And thank God, we see many things at work for our salvation. We're going to be quickened. We're quickened spiritually right now. Isn't that right? We're resurrected spiritually right now. That was the work of God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But one day, thank God, the adoption's going to win and we're going to be quickened, quickened and get a new body. We're going to be resurrected by the Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible says we'll be like Him. Right. We'll see Him as He is. Amen. Isn't that a great salvation promise? Yes, so we see the three persons at work here in that. You see in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, some don't think the Spirit of God is God.
But I believe the Bible teaches that he is. Psalm 139 verse 7 tells us that he's omnipresent. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? I'm glad I couldn't get away from him, aren't you? I mean, he'd deal with me in church. He'd deal with me on the ball field. I think I told y'all that testimony one time. I got under such deep conviction one time. I'd played ball and went to church most of my life. And God used people to pick me up, take me to the house of God through playing ball. And that family that I played ball, their son took me to the house of God. And I'd hear that preacher preach about the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost told me I'd offended the Father. He told him to repent toward God the Father. And he told me to place faith in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, that night about 3 o'clock in the morning, let me tell you about the ball field. Amen. I couldn't get away, even out there on the ball field, away from the Holy Ghost dealing with me. I was out there and Holy Ghost said, if that ball hits you in the head, I was on the pitcher's mound. And that Holy Ghost said, if that ball hits you in the head and you die, you're going to hell. And I'm glad he did, aren't you? Say, what's he doing? He is showing God's will for my life. You know what I did? I was scared to death. I mean, I don't know of very many innings I'd ever miss playing ball. I didn't ever come out of the game. I'd have to be about dead to come out of the game. And listen, that's all my will. God was working his will in my life. I got on the bench and I said, Coach, I said, I'm sick. And I can't go back in. You say, was you lying? Oh no, I wasn't lying. I was spiritually sick that night. And I'm glad God was dealing with me that I might be born again by the grace of God. I'm glad it was God's will to save me. I mean, I'm glad it was God's will to save you, and I want to tell people it's God's will to save them, but I sure am glad to know it's his will, and he saved me by his wonderful grace. Amen. You see that the Holy Ghost is omnipresent according to Psalm 139 verse 7, just like God. He's omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says what things know God save the Spirit of God. Isn't that what it says? Let's turn over there. I just thought about that one, so let's turn over there and look. You can do that in a Bible conference, can't you? Is it 1 Corinthians 2 or 2 Corinthians 2? Brother Shepherd, you helped me this morning. You helped me again. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Amen. What does God know? All things. What does the Holy Ghost know? All things. Amen. In Genesis 12, he's omnipotent. Excuse me, Genesis chapter number 1. Maybe in Genesis 12 too, but I saw 1 and 2. Didn't see the marks between there, but the Bible said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. I'm sure y'all heard this before, but the Spirit of God moved in creation. But Jesus, Bible says God created all things by Christ Jesus in the book of Colossians. Amen. They're so together you really can't separate them. But there are separate functions, it seems like, under their title. Amen. He moved like the wind to save sinners. The Spirit of God don't move, sinners won't get saved. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Yep. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Amen. He said, art thou teaching Israel, knowest not these things? He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Bible tells us we're born of God. Isn't that right? Bible tells us we're born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Bible tells us that birth brought the life of Jesus Christ inside of us. That's what salvation does. It births the life of Jesus into us. Amen. So you see tonight how the will of God for salvation, it's the will of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost to save sinners. So I said that about that the Father raised Jesus from the dead according to Acts 2. Jesus raised himself according to John 10. Romans 8 said the Spirit of God raised Jesus up. So there's three persons involved in God's will and salvation. And it'll line up with the Word of God. You hear some people, they talk about having Holy Ghost salvation and it don't have a thing to do with the Son, don't have a thing to do with the Father. Yeah. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Not only that, the three parts of man, I believe, is what's in God's will of salvation.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir.
I believe you can see it there in Ephesians, and I done turned away from there, but Ephesians chapter number 1, I believe God deals with us. We're called, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, he deals with spirit, soul, and body. Isn't that right?
Right.
We'd probably deal with body, spirit, and soul is what we'd probably talk about. But to God there, and I'm not saying it's wrong to say it either way, but over there it talks about God sanctifying us holy by spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
You can find that here in this chapter. God does his work. He puts his witness in our spirit.
Right.
How you know you're saved? The witness of God's on the inside by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
The will of God is at work. Philippians 2 said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost, but God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what's said there in Ephesians 1. So that's at work inside of a spirit body. Jesus is doing the work of God through our bodies. We're to do it. Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. We're here by the Spirit of God and the will of God the Father, trying to do the work of God. And what is that work of God? To make ourselves as much like Jesus Christ, to do the work that Jesus done while he was here. Amen. That's what Jesus did while he was here. Jesus knew there was a work down in Samaria. Amen. He knew there was a work down in Samaria, and they was going into town to take care of their pleasure and their will and get their bellies, get something from their bellies to be full. Nothing wrong with that, but the Bible said he must needs go through Samaria, and the will of God brought him to Jacob's well. Amen. And he sat down there weary on his journey, right in the will of God. And that woman come and he dealt with her sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
when they come back after she had left her water pot, God had done a work of salvation in her heart. She went into town and she started witnessing by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I understand she wasn't indwelt with it, but I'm telling you, she was witnessing those men down there, and they come back with the food the disciples did, and they said, Lord, eat. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Amen.
Amen. God wants our spirit, soul, and body to work out his salvation.
Amen.
Amen. You ever heard somebody say, give it your all? What are you giving your all to more than you are the will of God?
Amen.
I want to give my all to the will of God. And this book says all there is in me is spirit, soul, and body. Isn't that right? I want my all to be given to the will of God, Brother Hall. Thank God for men that are in this room. I believe these older men sitting here that I'm trying to preach to that have given their all to God. But listen, I want to give him all I can. I want to be in his will, body, spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
Amen. So we find here there's three phases to this salvation in the Word of God. God wants our body, soul, spirit, soul, and body to be doing his will, to be active in his will. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
Well, here's how he's doing it over in 2 Corinthians verse number 9. Look at this. Sometimes the will of God will lead you to distress and heartache and trouble. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. He's been talking about the comfort and consolation of God in the life of a child of God in all their troubles. And he comes down 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 8. He said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." You ever feel that way here lately? Amen. Only thing to help you during these times is knowing you're in the will of God. Know it is the will of God to save you. Giving you all spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
He said there that we were pressed out of measure above strength. You ever felt like your life's just above your strength?
Yep.
That's really when God's will will carry us. Amen. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. Amen. You ever get that way?
Yes.
That's how we ought to feel if we're not in God's will. I mean, if somebody who's really been born again by the will of God, you ought to despair of life. But I'll tell you this, Paul was in the will of God. They was in the will of God. You'll get like that. But what will help you is knowing that you're saved.
Amen.
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 And you're being saved. And you're going to be saved.
Amen.
And I'll clarify that in a minute. Amen. He said in verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." I believe that's talking about when he is lost. He said there was a time when we were sentenced to death. The wages of sin was death, and the motions of sin worked on the inside bringing forth death in my life. Hey, so you'll find here, he said, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves." We're not trusting in ourselves for salvation. It's God's will that we're not saved by our works.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. I said already, he spiritually raised me. He's going to completely raise me one day. But look at this verse. I said the will of God is involved with the three persons of the Godhead, the three parts of one man, I might say, the spirit, body, and soul. God wants all of that, since he saved us, to be doing his will and his work. Look at verse number 10. "Who delivered us from so great a death." Amen. We couldn't deliver ourselves from the dead of trespasses and sin of Almighty God. "Who delivered us from so great a death." I'm glad, thank God, that that's passed in my life. I'm not dead in trespasses and sin anymore. There's our salvation. He said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Verse number 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver." What was that one verse? I believe it's in the book of Acts. He said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And I ain't studied that word in the Strong's or anything like that. But untoward means not toward God. Amen. This generation, this world's not toward God. I'm sad to say it looks like not many people that profess to be saved, that their life and their will is toward God.
Right.
So how do you save yourself from that? Amen. Get in the will of God.
Right.
Listen to the will of God, which is his word. And I'm getting into the next message for Lord willing tomorrow night. But here you see there's, he delivered us. That's talking about eternally. He doth deliver. That's talking about our body daily.
Yep.
Why need deliverance from this old flesh? What about you?
Yep.
Man, he can think the worst thing just like that.
Right.
I mean, just like that.
Yep.
The other day I was studying, in fact, that message I preached this morning about confessing your sins, getting it right, and all of that. But I feel God having to go this way. And I thought about trying to perfect holiness and the fear of God. And I'll just tell you, I've tried to pray and fast for this meeting. I know you ain't supposed to say it when you're doing it, but I've tried to pray and fast and try to deal with this flesh. But I tell you what, you better watch out when you're dealing with this flesh. God will let it show you how fast it can deal with you.
Right.
You ever had like that? You having a good spiritual day, Brother Kurtman? Seem like, boy, you're fighting the devil and you're fighting your flesh. And all of a sudden, some fault, maybe you aren't as carnal as me. Some attitude of the flesh will just ruin your day. And you find out you're saying, God, I'm sorry that I thought that. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I desired that.
Right. Amen.
I'm glad in God's will. His salvation delivered me eternally. It's delivering me bodily daily. And it is yet to deliver me soul, body, and spirit one day. Completely.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Look at that verse again, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
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 Paul said over there in Romans 13, he said, the night that our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Say, is that a contradiction? I thought salvation was by grace through faith. I thought it wasn't a process. It's not for your soul. But I'm telling you, it's a daily thing trying to be delivered from this old flesh. And hey, it's going to be a complete thing one day.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Amen.
Yes,
well, I don't know if I should go. I'm wanting to preach also in this, I guess I may say something about it, but it's God's will to save sinners.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And use us. It's God's will.
Right.
For His purpose, His pleasure, and His praise.
Amen.
Amen. He wants us to be like His Son. He's predestined us to be like His Son, to be conformed to the image of His Son one day.
Amen.
I believe He's also wants us to try to be as much like Him as we can now.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Has God saved you tonight? If you're here lost tonight, it's God's will to save you.
Right.
Don't let the devil lie to you and tell him it's not God's will to save you. Don't let these heretics tell you it's not God's will to save this one, but it is God's will to save that one.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll just throw that in there here, ending it.
Amen.
I thought about getting another title on why I'm not a Calvinist. I guess you can't go through Ephesians 1 and not deal with it because of all that's going on. I'll say this, I'm not a Calvinist because He gave His life for every man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews 2 said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man.
That's right.
You have to learn a lot of Greek to make that just some chosen elect. I guess that's what they have to learn. Amen. He gave His life for every man. Amen.
Amen.
He gave His light to every man.
Yes, sir.
John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, all things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life of God, He gave His life to every man. And that life that He lived while He was here was the light of every man.
Amen.
And that life and that light brings condemnation to sinners.
Right.
Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's God's will. It says, and this is the condemnation. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. How did light come into the world? The life of God came into the world. Light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. And the Bible talks about it. The sinners, they hate the light. By nature, the sinners hate the light. And they don't come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. I still believe God reproves sinners about their sin before they get born again. Amen. When Holy Ghost come to the world, He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He said of sin because they believe not on Me, and of righteousness because I go unto My Father and you see Me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged.
Amen.
I believe that light, He gave His light to every man, says that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Amen.
and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Amen. I thank God for a man named Reese Cochran, the first preacher I ever heard. I was in darkness and he had some light. He told me about the life of Jesus and it shed light on the life I didn't have. Amen. By the way, I wasn't some just special chosen elect either. It says John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. This is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Amen.
How do you break that down to just a few elect and a few chosen?
Amen.
Every man comes in the world dead in darkness, and God said that he gave his life for every man. He gives his light to every man. He gave his love to all men, the Bible says.
Amen.
You hear him say, well, God don't love everybody. Remember that rich young ruler come to Jesus? Come to Jesus with a covetous mind and a covetous heart. Wanted to add to his possessions, no doubt. Was he the one who said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Is that what he said? He said, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. And he said, but if thou would be perfect, and he said, go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. But you know what? When he walked up, the Bible said Jesus, beholding him, loved him. But you know what? There wasn't any irresistible grace there because the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Jesus loved him. Hope he got born again on down the road, but I don't know. But he didn't right then, amen. But Jesus still loved him. Hey, if you die and go to hell, it'll be over the will of God. It'll be against the will of God. It'll be stepping over the blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
It'll be rejecting light and wanting darkness. Rejecting life and wanting death. That's what it'll be. Amen. So let me tell you again, while I'm not a Calvinist, I believe it's God's will to save every man.
Amen.
I don't believe every man's going to be saved. But I believe man has a choice, don't you? God gave his love, God gave his life for every man. God gives his light to every man. God gave his love for all men. His love is what done it. But I'll say this, God was lifted for all men. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus sat over there and had it wrote down somewhere on another piece of paper, but he said, but if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Was that in John 3? Nicodemus? He said there, the Son of Man, which is in heaven, he is standing there in front of him, but he is in heaven. He said, and even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
He said in another place, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm glad I can preach the gospel to all men. I can go to the jails and preach about a God who's willing to save sinners in the jailhouse. I'm glad I can go out on the streets and preach about a God who's willing to save sinners. I'm glad I can come in the house of God and preach about a God who's willing to save sinners.
Amen.
If you're saved tonight, it was by the will of God.
That's right.
He said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The Bible tells us in the book of Timothy that he's the Savior of all men. And especially of those that believe.
Amen.
He died for every man. He's the only Savior that any man will ever have.
Right.
But there'll be people that will die and go to hell despite a Savior who is willing to die.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
He's Savior right now, but he's going to be judged one day.
Right.
Amen. It'll be too late then. Amen. You're lost tonight, will you accept the will of God that he'll save you?
He'll birth you into the family of God. If you, knowing God did save you by His grace and His mercy according to His will, you willing to take God's will and allow it to be your will, and God don't want our will. You understand what I'm saying about that? Chunk our will to do His will in our life.
Amen.
There's all kind of different things. He's, 1 John 2 says that He's our advocate, and He is made the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
Don't fall for these lies going around that there's certain people God never intended to save.
Right.
It's God's will to save all men.
Amen.
And all men that don't get saved, as I already said, will have to reject the grace and the mercy of God.
Yes, sir.
But ain't you just glad tonight that it was God's will to save you?
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to think of that song that the man on the cross putting me in his will and said I could go free. I don't remember all that song is, but I just thank God for God's will to save sinners.
Amen.
Amen. Said for there, I didn't get to all this verse, but maybe God saved here. It said, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom to be testified in due time.
Yeah.
Amen. So I've tried to testify it to you here tonight that God's will is to save sinners.
Amen.
Let's all stand tonight, if you would. God's will in salvation. God's will in salvation. Hopefully this has given you a little more light about God's will to save sinners. Maybe you know some sinner that needs to be saved. Maybe you know some sinner you need to go to. And I mean, knocking on doors, I've had people tell me, Brother Kirkman, that God won't save me. I had a man tell me, he went and knocked on his door, and he said, I'd love to come to church. He even said, I'd love to get saved. He said, but my mama told me from a little bitty child that God would not save me because I was not elect. I've had people tell me I've sinned too much and God won't save me. Now I understand you can sin and you can reject God long enough that He'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I tell you tonight, if God's dealing with your heart and dealing with your mind tonight, amen, get born again.
Yes.
As they play, as she plays softly, would you come tonight?